Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to The Cube, 88.9 FM CJMQ. Now, in today's show, it's going to be a little bit different, and that's because I have three interviews today instead of two, and I feel that all three are time sensitive. We will also have only the community event announcements for this weekend only. And we will not have any health news today, and we're going to have a little less music too. We will start with my interview with Mr. Michael Murray, who is the chairman of the Eastern Township School Board, and he will be talking about Bill 8. Then in the second part of the show, I will have two interviews about two very fun events coming up this weekend. One is Friendship Day in Lenoxville on Saturday, June 13th, and I will be interviewing one of the organizers, Debbie Petum, about this event. It's an event which brings the community together with local nonprofit organizations, artisans, music, a market, food, kids' activities, and more. And the other fun event is the Salon du Patrimoine Cleveland in Cleveland, which is near Richmond. This event highlights more of the agricultural side of the townships. They're going to have tractor pulls, displays of antique farm equipment, and even tractor square dancing. So we will begin today's show with the interview I did with Mr. Michael Murray, and then we will have the community events only for this weekend. Recently, the Quebec government introduced Bill 8, proposed legislation that could bring significant changes to the way school boards and educational services operate across the province. Here in the Eastern Townships, educators, parents, and community leaders have been raising concerns about what these changes could mean for students, programs, and local decision-making. To help us better understand the potential impact of Bill 8 and what it could mean for English language education in our region, I'm joined today by Mr. Michael Murray, chairman of the Eastern Township School Board. Mr. Murray has been speaking out about the possible consequences of the legislation and the challenges it may create for students and families who rely on the programs and services offered by the ETSB. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm really pleased to welcome the chairman of the Eastern Township School Board, Mr. Michael Murray. So welcome, Mr. Murray.
Thank you very much.
Now, today we're going to be talking about Bill 8, so I think that a lot of people haven't heard about it yet. To begin, could you explain what Bill 8 is and why the Eastern Township School Board is concerned about it?
Well, Bill 8, which was deposited only last Thursday, is a last-minute presentation of a bill to extend the conditions of Bill 101 to include adults in studying in school board adult education and professional training. So vocational programs like health services, construction, machinery, and welding, and the whole list goes on and on, would be impacted by this. And we're concerned because without the services we offer, many of the adults studying in our centers would not have an option. We did a survey in our adult education. Out of over 800 registered students, more than 500 indicated that they would be unable, even if it was available, to study in French. We help them study in English, and we are very focused on bilingualism. So before any student completes a program with us, they are fully bilingual and prepared to work in Quebec in French. That kind of facility doesn't exist in the French system. And so, as I said, many of our students have indicated in the survey that they would drop out or seek less skilled employment. Given the context of our regional shortage of skilled employees, that's a hardship for employers, as well as a tragedy for those individuals who are trying to improve their skills. Many of them are immigrants and just want to integrate it, but are struggling with second and third language.
Now, the ETSB has stated that more than 20 programs of study could be at risk. That's a high number. Which types of programs are most vulnerable?
Well, I mentioned health services, and that's perhaps one of the more critical ones, because this same government has promised the Anglophone community that it can be served in all of our health institutions in the language of choice, English or French. And frankly, the French training in health services does not include a significant portion of learning the terminology or the vocabulary in English. We make sure that our graduates are fully competent in both languages. The same applies for learning in other technical vocational programs, bilingual secretary, for example, that is specifically targeted for personnel who need both languages. And others, like construction trades and industrial employment, it is more a question of learning the French language. Francicization is an essential part of our programs. And if we don't have enough students to enroll in a program, then obviously the program can continue. So our estimate of 20 programs that might have to be eliminated is based on the number of students that we have who would struggle in French.
Now, the ETSB says that more than 70% of current adult learners may no longer be able to access these programs beginning in 2028. Now, why is that?
The law specifies that unless they have eligibility certificates, students must attend adult education program at a French school board. The French school boards really aren't equipped to deal with people who have no or little understanding of French. And quite apart from their linguistic limitations, the French school boards are quite frank in saying they don't have the capacity to absorb large numbers of additional students. Their capital budgets are constrained. They can't easily build new facilities or find the instructors for them. So we think the government has acted hastily and without thinking through all of the consequences of these kind of regulations. And that's quite apart from the reality of taking civil rights away from adults. The principle of Bill 101 always was to prepare the youth for life in French. And now we're facing a bill that has implications far beyond just technical vocational training or adult education, but really the principle that adults no longer have the right to decide how they study, where they study, or what programs that they would like to study.
Now, the students attending these centers, the vocational training centers, are they mostly people who are going through a career change, young adults, newcomers, or people returning to school later in life?
Certainly, people returning to school is critical for us. We, and in fact, right across the province, every school board, French or English, calculates its graduation rate on the basis of a 7-year cohort, that is 5 years of regular high school, and we allow two additional years for our students to catch up. And those students would be affected only in the reduction in available courses. The rest are those who don't have eligibility certificates. There are two groups. One would be immigrants or people who did not attend English school for their elementary years. And that group is largely comprised of students who didn't, who for reasons that their parents intended well, didn't have an eligibility certificate and attended French school to learn French. And now their preference is to study in English, their first language, but without the eligibility certificate, they cannot. And the government is refusing to issue new eligibility certificates even to traditional Anglophone students, because they don't have enough education, elementary school education, in English. Once they turn 18, the eligibility certificate is no longer available to them, even though they would have been entitled to have it if they had applied. So that the multiplication of regulations that appear to be targeting English as a bad thing, rather than supporting French as the language of Quebec. We really feel the government needs to think through the second and third level consequences of its decision, So this bill should not be adopted as it is, but could possibly, the principle could be modified if the government insists on adopting the principle in the first place.
Okay. Now, if we have the loss of a lot of healthcare training, welding, carpentry, for instance, that's going to have a big impact on local employers, obviously. And industries are already experiencing labor shortages. How could Bill 8 affect the local workforce in the coming years?
Well, obviously, there will be fewer graduates in all of those professions or occupations that you mentioned. And the range is quite broad. I mentioned the secretarial work, for example. Also, hairdressers who, again, try to serve their clientele in a language chosen or preferred by the client. And so we train bilingual graduates. We have bilingual graduates in the industrial occupations as well. In many cases, industries use machinery and equipment or processes that are developed in the United States and other countries. Many of the manuals and instruction systems are printed in English. Many are available only in English. So having a command of that language adds to the versatility of the employee and in many cases would be preferred by an employer just to facilitate the operation of their process. In every instance, I think the implications of this bill are that it would make life more difficult, not only for the employees, but for the employers.
Okay, that makes sense. The ETSB is warned of a domino effect throughout the community. Can you explain what that means?
Well, we're looking forward and trying to project the impacts of this change in coming years. You know, a few hundred fewer skilled employees, not only to create unskilled employees, but very likely to force students to drop out completely from these kinds of training, meaning they're less employable, meaning that they end up being a burden on the society instead of a contributor. And by projection also, we are worried that the programs we do offer, which would be targeted at English students, will not be available because we will not be able to assemble a large enough cohort. In order to make these courses available, we need, well, different numbers in each program, but let's say on average 15 students to apply for the particular program. If we only have one or two or even four or five, we don't have the resources to provide the training. And the government is not in a position to increase the resources from the state. So we would end up not offering the course at all. The students in that group of Anglophones who would have liked to upgrade their skills can't and end up contributing less to society, which is tragic. It's tragic for the individual, also tragic for society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Definitely tragic for the community in general. Have you heard concerns from local employers about the potential loss of these training opportunities?
Well, you're touching on a very sensitive point as far as I'm concerned. The bill was introduced last Thursday. The government is pressing hard to get it adopted by this Friday. That means just over a week with no consultation, no feedback from the community. It is the kind of thing that, to my jaundiced eye, appears to be rushed so that no one will notice that it's happening. And then it becomes law, and it's too late to do anything about it. These are fundamental civil rights that are being affected. And yet, and this is why the school board has issued this cri d'alarme, this call for attention, that we hope both the government and the opposition will wake up and realize what a devastating impact this legislation would have and withdraw it or simply let it die on the order paper when National Assembly finishes its work for the year in about 3 days.
Oh, okay. Is there anything in the bill that the ETSB supports at all?
Fundamentally, no. We think adults should be free to choose. We think that also it's important that the graduates of all of these programs be functionally bilingual. And we work very hard to do that. And part of the contradictory approach of the government is that while they seem to be wanting to limit access to education delivered by the English community or the English school board, they have increased their financing for franchisization because they recognize that we do an excellent job of preparing people to work and live in French. So that internal contradiction is another indication that they haven't thought through the implications of this bill.
Now, what can local residents, business owners, and community organizations do if they share your concerns?
The important thing would be to let members of the National Assembly know that this is a bad idea, that they should oppose it fundamentally for all of the good reasons that I spoke of, the civil rights side, the human impact, and the downstream effects for business and industry in our area. Letting the members of the National Assembly understand that this is not just a minor move, but it has major fallout, and that will be felt for many years to come. So I would urge everyone to contact the member of the National Assembly, to speak out also at meetings of a Chambre de Commerce or whatever. And this is one of the very objectionable aspects of the bill, that within the space of 8 days, the government proposes to adopt it within 8 days of it being deposited, so that nobody has a chance to really study it. And most of the public will be ignorant of its implications until too late.
Okay. If there is one thing you hope listeners remember from today's interview, what would it be?
It would be that citizens have a real influence on what politicians do if they exercise their voice. And this is an occasion when they should exercise their voice.
Okay. Anything else we left out, Mr. Murray, you'd like to add?
Simply that it's urgent. We have 3 days, 4 days to make our opposition known to the people who will be voting on this bill.
Okay, not long at all. We've been talking with Mr. Michael Murray, chairman of the Eastern Township School Board today. We've been talking about Bill 8. So thank you very much, Mr. Murray.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you.
And have a great day.
You too. Bye. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you.
Lennoxville, la journée de l'amitié arrive à grands pas. Joignez-vous à nous le samedi 13 juin de 10h à 15h pour profiter d'un marché d'artisans, d'une mini-ferme, de tennis, d'un mur d'escalade, de camions de cuisine de rue, de musique et tellement plus. C'est gratuit à l'extérieur de tout près de chez vous. Consultez la programmation complète au sherbrooke.ca/journée-amitié. Lennoxville, Friendship Day is just around the corner. Join us on Saturday, June 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy an artisan market, a mini farm, tennis, a climbing wall, food trucks, live music, and more. Free outdoors, right here in our neighborhood. Check out the full program at sherbrooke.ca/Friendship Day. Un message de la ville de Sherbrooke. Are you looking for the ultimate family weekend? Head over to the Richmond Fairgrounds this June 13th and 14th for the Salon du Patrimoine. We've got it all. A petting zoo, artisan kiosks, and massive displays of antique cars and tractors. Don't miss the tractor pull on Saturday, and come back Sunday to see tractor square dancing. Yes, you heard that right. Grab a bite at the canteen and enjoy activities for all ages. There is an entry fee, so grab the kids and meet us at 128 Route 143 in Cleveland. For the latest updates, find us on Facebook at Salon du Patrimoine de Cleveland, Richmond, Quebec. We'll see you at the fairgrounds.
Coming up at the ANAF Unit 318, The Hut, there's a dance with Sydney Aulis every Sunday, 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. $10 admission at the door. You must be 18 years and over. I want to thank Mr. Michael Murray, Chairman of the Eastern Township School Board, for enlightening us about Bill 8 and the consequences to our students, our teachers, and our community at large if this bill passes. So definitely think about this and write to your MNAs. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with Part 2 of the Townships at 12. We will close Part 1 of the show today with the Parachute Club, and the song is called Rise Up. So please stay tuned. You're listening to the Townships at 12 with me, your host, Maureen, on theCUBE, CJMQ 88.9 FM.